Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producers, Aaron Zomers and Jeff Perry. It is Monday, June 5th, 2023. Feels a little different, guys, to say good afternoon instead of good morning. We welcome you into the afternoon edition to the show. Yes, we have been on in the morning regionally across Wisconsin, and today marks our first day going statewide across the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Zomers, welcome to the afternoon.
Here we are. It's really weird starting the show and not hearing you say good morning.
Right?
Yeah, it's something different. Something I'll have to get used to.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Aaron Zomers has been our producer engineer for the last 6 months, and along with our audience across predominantly Western Wisconsin and listening to us, has given us the opportunity to go statewide. And so Jeff Perry, our longtime friend, former colleague of mine at WRCO, now part of the Civic Media family in Richland Center, joins us moving forward. You were kind of a Padawan in training at the board, Mr. Perry.
That's right. And, I've been waiting in Project Bootstrap for a long time, waiting to get hired, and I'm very grateful for the chance. Thank you very much, Todd.
Well, absolutely. We're happy to have you here. And so, little by little, Mr. Zomers will transition out of the role of Mr. Perry into the full-time role, because Aaron, he also is the producer and engineer for our morning lineup, including Pat Kreitlow with Up North News from 6 until 8 across most of the Civic Media Radio Network. He also is going to do the Stu Daniels Show on our old kind of format of stations in the western part of the state from 8 until 10. And then he's also helping out with the News at Noon product and Town Hall with Will and Luke. So we figured he's not AI. He is an actual human, so we have to give him some rest so Mr. Perry will take over eventually and be our producer at 1 o'clock. But we're happy to have both Aaron and Jeff with us. Also happy to have you all with us. And if you're normally tuning in at this time for the last hour of As Goes Wisconsin, I'm sorry to say that you have missed it. As Goes Wisconsin is now 10 until noon every day across the Civic Media Radio Network with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinier. So tune in a little bit earlier. Don't forget, you can also catch their podcast as well as all of our shows on the Civic Media app or Civic Media website, rather. Go to civicmedia.us. That's civicmedia.us. Catch all the podcasts. And of course, you can hear all of our shows as well across the Civic Media Radio Network simply by downloading the Civic Media app. Go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, and download the Civic Media app. It is free. And you could call in at any time. Happy to have you along with us. Our new number, for those of you who used to be in the morning with us, we're doing the statewide number now. Number is 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Going to set the table a little bit and go to the big story this morning. And I said it already. I'm used to saying this morning. But the big story this afternoon that we're going to be talking about in this first segment. Number one, actually two big stories, just breaking across the wires this afternoon on CNN. According to CNN's Dana Bash in a sit-down interview with New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, the Republican, which may be one of the few people who you might consider to be a moderate Republican left, Chris Sununu says he is not running for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. So again, Chris Sununu out in terms of running for president in 2024. So we'll have more on that probably a little bit later. If you want to call in and weigh in on Chris Sununu and deciding not to run, take your calls on that. But the big story over the weekend, and I want to get to this because it happened on Friday, and President Biden's address was late Friday night, and then kind of more details came out over the weekend. We averted defaulting on our debt as the agreement was reached. Both the Senate and the House passed the agreement, the Senate on Friday, or on Thursday, rather, and Biden was ready to sign it into law on Saturday. Very important that we actually were avoiding this national default. And there's criticism on both the left and the right, and I think that's a good thing, all right? As somebody who grew up in Southwest Wisconsin, spent 17 years on WRCO, our affiliate there in Southwest Wisconsin. As somebody who spent 25 years plus in the Republican Party and left in 2011 after witnessing Wisconsin State Senate Republicans giddy in a closed-door meeting about taking constitutional rights away from citizens to vote. That's why I left the party. And now as an independent in Wisconsin, I think it's good. I think it's good that both the far left and the far right are ticked off. Because here's what that's called. It's called legislating. All right? Legislating. I know it's a novel concept these days. Too often both sides say, I want everything or I'm going to just take my ball and go home. But President Biden, and here's the advantage of having a guy who's been around for a while. President Biden knew how to negotiate with Kevin McCarthy. He got the better end of the deal. He protected the most vital and necessary components, including Social Security payments, Medicare, Medicaid payments, veterans. And he kept the United States from going into default. And he did it all with a smile. And at the end of the day, praising Kevin McCarthy. And in doing so, it took away probably the one Achilles heel that could be render Biden most vulnerable in a re-election bid in 2024. We'll come back and talk more about it. Take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. It's the Todd Allball Show statewide on the Civic Media Radio Network. Having fun doing it. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 1:15 on the time and temperature sign. That's quarter after the hour of 1 o'clock. If you're normally tuning in for the last hour of As Goes Wisconsin with Krista Bry and Jay Matinair, a little late as we changed a lot of lineups this morning. And so Krista and Jane on As Goes Wisconsin are now 10 until noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. So want to just give that shout out. Had a great show they had this morning. Krista, I think she texted me. She said 2 hours goes a little faster than three. She and I were both doing
shocking
3 hour. I know 3 hour shows earlier. So our guest today, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll have John Roach, a Wisconsinite, a writer and journalist on his time at Madison Magazine. Also, he's written before and is a screenwriter as well. A great show. Absolutely a great movie. One of my favorite all-time movies. We'll talk about that. And his life chronicling Wisconsin. And then in hour number two, we have Matt DeFore, who is the State Bureau Chief, and reporter Phoebe Petrovic from Wisconsin Watch. Had a little dust-up this weekend. Wisconsin Watch was attacked by the National Review. Turns out they're a little ticked at the truth on taxpayer money being used in Wisconsin's private and public schools. We will talk to Matt DeFore and Phoebe Petrovic in hour number two from Wisconsin Watch about that. Also, stay tuned because yesterday was National Cheese Day. Of course, we weren't on the air yesterday. Our show wasn't. So in hour number two, also taking your calls on what is your favorite cheese and who is your favorite cheese maker. Do a little informal poll and survey in hour number three. Looking forward to that. On all of our stations across Wisconsin, we are on today, including WMDX Mad Radio here in Madison, Wisconsin. Also on WAUK in Waukesha, Milwaukee, in Green Bay, now in Eau Claire, in La Crosse. Shout out to our new stations there. The Tap up in Eau Claire. And the Eagle in La Crosse. Of course, our home station, WRCE in Richland Center, in Wausau, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Hayward, Racine, and Kenosha. We say thank you for listening and being part of the Civic Media family and now part of the Todd Allball Show family as well. Go to the phones now, talking about the big story, Joe Biden getting the win over the weekend, late last week and over the weekend with the negotiated settlement, we'll call it, on raising the debt ceiling. 844-967-2789, the number to call, 844-967-2789. Our old friend Tom, a standby caller and fan of our morning show, has joined us in the afternoon. Tom from Sauk County, we appreciate you calling in, my friend. You are the first caller on our afternoon statewide program.
Hi. I have a 2019 Kia for sale. Real cheap. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. This one is a Hyundai.
Yes.
And it's only $2,500. Must be cash. And I've misplaced the title, but I promise to mail it to the buyer.
That's Prime Mover you're looking for in WRCO Richland Center, Tom. And so you can call in on Saturday mornings on Prime Mover.
Is this the show where you talk about serious stuff, but you also like to have fun?
Well, we try. That's the point of the show is that we, you know, I have a political background, spent many years in the Republican Party, left it in 2011. And so we just want to seek the truth, give people the truth, information, and then, yeah, have some fun along the way doing it.
Well, I got a serious subject.
All right. What have you got for us, Tom?
When a professional car thief steals a car, I read that they drive the car very carefully to a chop shop or someplace that ships it abroad. Well, except for the times when they need to raise cash in a hurry. But when amateurs steal these Kias and Hyundais, they go for a joyride. They smash into things. People get hurt, killed even. That causes all kinds of expenses for local government, law enforcement, the court system. So, of course, local governments should sue the car maker and recoup those expenses. I mean, when the police and district attorneys are using their resources on amateur car thieves, that leaves them less resources to pursue career criminals.
So what Tom's talking about is a story that we've talked about something like before, but a couple of different lawsuits. One was for individuals suing Hyundai and Kia, saying that was an intentional left out piece of equipment on these cars to make them easier to steal. They sued and got a class action loss or a lawsuit settlement. Now places like Madison, Wisconsin, municipalities are suing Hyundai and Kia, saying it's lost revenue from police resources and that sort of thing. So you're all for it, Tom.
Well, I was a minute ago, but if they're going to have more time to go after career criminals, then forget it. I agree with you. The lawsuit is ridiculous. But there's another thing that's stuck in my craw.
Okay.
Wait a second. Do you hear that?
No.
My God, that siren getting close. Listen, I got to go. Congrats on your new time slot and your growing audience.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it. Tom in Sauk City, we appreciate you. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We go to Frida in Madison. Frida, we appreciate you hanging on the phone, on the lines. Frida, what say you this afternoon?
Oh, hello. Say, I have a question and a comment.
Sure.
First is a question about the new programming and schedule shakeup. I don't know your program, and I will probably love it, so it's new to me. But what I was wondering is, what happened to Tom Hartman? I love Tom Hartman and will really miss him, and I didn't hear him in the lineup anywhere.
Tom Hartman is a great national broadcaster, and I believe you can still hear him online through, they're kind of redoing the Civic Media website right now, so I believe that's going to be an online program, at least for a while. The purpose, and you bring up a great point, and thank you for letting us talk to you about it. So our owner, Sage Weil, and Mike Crute, in creating Civic Media about a year ago, what they said, they looked at Wisconsin and said, you know what, there are so many radio stations out there that are bought up by conglomerates across the U.S., big companies, and then they simply hook up a satellite dish and they bring in feeds from all over the country. Oftentimes, that's very conservative radio like Sean Hannity. Once in a while is somebody like Tom Hartman. And again, he's a great progressive radio talk show host. The purpose of one of the main purposes of Civic Media was to buy stations and as best we can to focus on community news and statewide news, or at least take national news and put it into a statewide lens. So with today's programming changes, it's another step in saying, hey, how can we offer Wisconsin-based programming that gets more people like you on the air and involve us in our communities and make us be aware of our communities? Tom Hartman, a great radio show host. And again, I think he's still going to be on our website on a daily basis streaming.
That is to come yet because we're still updating the Civic Media app and our website. But that should be within a week, maybe two, is what I've been told most recently, that we will have that alternate stream that has Tom Hartman. Additionally, if you want to listen to him on the air, and you're awake at that time of day, from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., Tom Hartman will be rebroadcast, which, again, we know that's really late. That's why we're also going to have the alternate stream on the app and the website.
Does that answer the question, Frida?
Yeah, that's a great explanation. And I really like the focus on local Wisconsin. I'm just, like, really attached to Tom Hartman.
I get it. Okay. I get it. We all have our favorite hosts, and I totally appreciate that.
And then I have a comment about a potential topic that I think should be covered. And that is, I don't know if you're familiar with the name Jim Troupas.
Of course, absolutely.
I would love to see more information on him and him be exposed. He is such a bad actor in Wisconsin and has been for years. He's anti-gay. He's anti-democracy. Just to have his name out there exposed, I'd love to see that guy disbarred.
I appreciate the call, Frida. I really do. I couldn't agree with you more. This has been talked about a lot from our Madison listeners or other places in Wisconsin, the statewide network. The Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom in the afternoon have talked about that. I know Luke's program, The Devil's Tangent, Dueling Tangents, to get my shows mixed up, they've also talked about it. Jim Troupas, for those of you who don't know, Jim Troupas is not a great guy. He is just not a good dude and has been involved in attorney, and as Frida pointed out there, somebody who probably should be disbarred, but has been working with the likes of Ron Johnson and working with those who are trying to undo the vote, still the election deniers, and quite frankly, part of the sedition movement. And it's despicable what they've done to Wisconsin in terms of voting rights. I said, I left the Republican Party in 2011 because I saw with my own eyes, I heard with my own ears, what this party, what the Republican Party was trying to do in Wisconsin. And Jim Troupas is a part of that and trying to steal the vote. And it's part of wrapped up in this lawsuit. It's going to be going to trial next year as far as fake electors in this state, of which Andrew Hitt from my hometown of Richland Center was the big part of, an instigator. He was the chair of the Republican Party when this all happened. Jim Troupas was a part of this fake electors that met at the Capitol, created a fake set of electors, and then tried to get Ron Johnson to deliver it to then Mike Pence on the dais in order to undo the vote and steal the vote from every Wisconsin voter. I've said before, it doesn't matter whether you voted Biden or Trump in 2020. If your vote is taken, that's stealing the entire process from the state of Wisconsin. So, Frida, I agree with you on that. All right, Frida, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it very much. That is Frida in Madison. If you would like to join us, number is 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Yeah, little program change here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, if you are in the markets outside of Madison and accustomed to joining Krista Bry and Jay McNair on As Goes Wisconsin, you can find them from 10 until noon now every morning across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you are listening to us on WMDX Mad Radio here in Madison, 92.7 FM, and looking for Tom Hartman, he is going to move to an online product eventually. And then, as Mr. Somers points out, will be rebroadcast beginning at 11 p.m. So, again, try to focus things a little bit more on Wisconsin. Try to give you a Wisconsin perspective and look at it through the lens of Wisconsinites. Offering a chance for you all to call in as well. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Just finish up. Let's go to the phones here. We have, looks like, Bell. Is that correct? Mr. Somers will screen the call. Hello, and go ahead. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Denise.
Hey, Denise. How are you doing? What do you want to say this afternoon?
Is this the radio station that used to play the oldies?
Where are you calling us from?
Kenosha.
Kenosha. I believe that is true. So, yes, there has been a programming change. So, Civic Media now has bought that station in Kenosha, our affiliate down there. And so, this is part of the Civic Media Radio Network. It's talk radio, also sports as well, in some instances as well. But, yes, are you listening to us on 98.1 down there in Kenosha?
Yeah, WRJN 98.1.
Yep. RJN, so they have a long history, long roots of talk radio. So now under Civic Media's ownership, we're taking the station back. Also, want you to know, Denise, we're going to be airing the Brewers next year down in Kenosha. We're also going to have the Bucks, the Badgers, as well as the Green Bay Packers. So lots of changes coming, and we appreciate you listening.
No music at all? No oldies?
Sadly, no. If you want to tune in on WRCO on the Civic Media app, Phil Nee has oldies every Saturday night. WRCO Richland Center. Download the Civic Media app. Thanks, Denise, for hanging in there with us. Stay tuned. We're going to talk to John Roach next. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. Glad to have you along with us. It is now 1:33 on the time and temperature sign. If you're looking for Tom Hartman, or maybe you're looking for, Tom Hartman is playing on the computer now, online, and As Goes Wisconsin, which would normally be in this slot, has moved to a morning slot from 10 until 12. And for our new stations in places like Eau Claire and La Crosse and Kenosha and Racine, maybe you're tuning us in like that last caller and saying, where the heck are my oldies? Well, now it's called Oldies with Talk, or just a couple of oldies talking, which at least in my case could be true. We welcome our first guest to the program, and we really appreciate him taking the time to join us today. He is the founder and chief of creative strategy at Roach Productions here in Madison, Wisconsin. He is John Roach. John, we've known each other kind of tangentially through my former boss and your longtime friend, Scott Klug, and somebody who I've admired both your video work and also, I've always said, I love good writing. I don't care whether it's in a song or a magazine piece or on the screen. Writing to me is a lost art and something I so admire, and you're one of the best. We appreciate you being with us.
Well, thanks so much, Todd. I really appreciate that. It took me a long time to think of myself as a writer. I mean, I feel like a jack of all trades given my career, but writing is something that I really like to do and I've worked hard at. And when I was growing up, my mom was an avid reader. And so writers were always viewed with respect in our household.
And you grew up here in Madison, correct?
I did. I'm a townie, west side, near west side Madison. Mm-hmm. Blessed Sacrament Grade School and Edgewood High School. Started out in that little Commonwealth neighborhood and near West High School and all, and then over to Vilas Avenue. But yeah, I had paper routes all over the West Side.
State Journal or Capital Times?
Both.
Really? Yeah. My first job was a State Journal back in Richland Center. So.
Yep. Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I was up early in the morning, and then I had an afternoon route as well. I was really good at delivering. I wasn't as good at collecting. I wasn't very organized about it, but I eventually figured it out.
You were much more aggressive than I see. I just had the morning State Journal route. And truth be told, particularly in the winter, Mom would get up and drive me around some of those really cold winter mornings.
Hey, can I tell you, I think jobs like that in your formative years are really good.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I woke up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning to deliver the paper in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're 12 years old and everyone in the neighborhood at that time really was dependent upon the newspaper for news. And there was a certain ritual to it. Mm-hmm. And if your paper wasn't there, if their paper wasn't there, they would let you know in no uncertain terms. And for a 12-year-old to deal with those consequences was good for me.
I delivered to WRCL Radio, and by golly, you'd better have the State Journal there, because at that time it was the wire service and the State
Journal. Was that the Kennedy brothers?
Brian Kennedy.
Brian and his brother Steve,
who unfortunately no longer with us, but great guys.
Yeah, they were my neighbors.
Get
they lived
out.
A block away.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that. That's amazing. Yep. Brian Kennedy.
Their sister Ellen was in my class.
Oh my gosh.
Now this is townie stuff here.
See, it just here you go statewide, and then you find out two people you know where your next door neighbors. So that's fantastic.
Yep, there you go.
So how did John, I was speaking with John Roach, the founder and chief creative strategist of Roach Productions here in Madison. John, what really made you want to get into writing or communications? What was it? Was there kind of an impetus or an aha moment in your life?
Well, I think, you know, I'm kind of at the stage of my career where I do reflect a little bit on it. And there were two points, I think. The first one was when I wrote a piece my freshman year in English class. And a nun, one of the Dominican sisters who were our teachers at that time, her name was Claire Wagner. And I wrote this piece, and it was really, I was kind of ripping off a little Steinbeck. But she just asked me to stop at the end of the class, and she said, John, you're a really good writer. Wow. And I was, what, 14 or 15 years old?
Yeah.
And just to have someone tell me that really meant a lot to me. And it was kind of a moment of maturation or, you know, some identity. I was a high school jock, like a lot of guys were. And then there was a moment later in high school where I was kind of getting burned out by being who I was to some extent, you know, high school jock. And I wrote for the newspaper and stuff like that, but on a whim, I went out for the high school musical my senior year and, you know, sang a song and then went to football practice. And then about 2 days later, I walk into school and everyone goes, have you seen the postings for the play? And I go, no, what's up? Uh-huh. And they go, well, you're the lead. So I have a lead in a play, which I think I'd sang in a chorus or something like that prior. Mm-hmm. But and I just did it on a whim because I was kind of wanting to experiment with the bigger, wider world, right?
Right.
And so I ended up, you know, going from football practice to rehearsal, you know, wall to wall from, you know, 3 p.m. till 9 p.m. It was one of the most interesting little moments of my life. And I found out that I could do it. And there was just a whole nother part of me that was worth exploring. And then after that, I was in bands in college and and then I got into broadcast very quickly out of college at WLS Television in Chicago, working as a segment producer on the show that became Oprah.
Get out. I didn't know that.
You
worked on Oprah's regional show out of Chicago or her local show?
Well, I left the week she came.
Good timing. Good timing, John.
So actually it was good timing because I'd worked on it for 2 years, but it was a live in Chicago. It was a live morning follow on to Good Morning America. And they had it in all the major owned stations markets, New York, Chicago, LA, all of those big city stations were owned by ABC.
Sure.
And so they had an addendum essentially to Good Morning America. And this was before the internet. So all the stars who were pushing a book or a movie or a play would come on. They would do a local tour of the big markets. So I'd get up in the morning and I might be preparing an interview and producing a segment with Mel Brooks or Sylvester Stallone or Nick Nolte or Tennessee Williams or, you know, whoever was coming through town. And it was a fascinating experience and really was boot camp for what turned out to be my craft.
Let me go back to high school for a second. Which gave you the bigger rush? The applause from the stands when you made a football play or the applause of the auditorium during the show?
Being able to catch a punt coming out of the Friday Night Lights with 11 guys from some other town running at you, doing that successfully was easily the most challenging and satisfying thing because there's actually danger involved. Right. and you know, I think that when you're in a play, there's a lot of other people on stage with you. Mm-hmm. But the two things that made me most nervous and were a good preparation for stress and pressure later in life was returning punts and kickoffs in football and being in the 120-yard dash in track, because there's no one else to blame. Right. There's no one else to say, hey, you do this, or, you know, help me out here. They're very solitary acts, right?
Right.
Kind of like stand-up.
Exactly.
Like a little stand-up, and like stand-up, it's you are working without a net. And, you know, other people are a net.
Right.
And so that's the those things made me the most nervous. And when it went right, it was the most gratifying. But I will say, you know, I won a couple Emmys. Winning those were really gratifying. The applause on stage, my mind was so busy trying to hit my marks and get my lines and hit the note that I don't know that I ever really, you know, wallowed in the applause. And also, so many people go into making a play that I didn't feel like the applause was all mine, because it wasn't.
Right. Who was your favorite stand-up growing up listening to? Or
Richard Pryor.
Yeah, right.
Hands down. He was revolutionary to me. Mm-hmm. And that came about, you know, late in my high school years and into college. He just was saying stuff so honestly that it took my breath away.
John has quite an impressive resume. John Roach, the founder and chief creative strategist for Roach Productions here in Madison, Wisconsin. He is our first guest in our statewide broadcast. As he said,
congratulations, by the way, Todd.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity. We're humbled by it. And it was only because of our fine listeners on the western side of the state that put us here. Certainly not the talent of the host. But speaking of talent, John is one, as he said, Emmy Award winning, including the cult following hit The Sports Writers on TV. Other broadcast credits include ESPN, Fox, NBC, Ebony Jet, quite a list. What made you, after all that success in what most people would say, you know, and you did make it, to come back and take the gig? You wrote for the Capital Times and Madison Magazine, correct?
I just wrote for Madison Magazine. Oh, okay. Right. And it came about from a friendship from another townie, Doug Moe. When I moved back to Madison after a decade in Chicago, I was a different guy. And you know, I was kind of a wise ass, and but I had some good credits, and I'd lived, you know, Chicago in the 80s was remarkable. Mm-hmm. It was the rise of Oprah, the rise of Michael Jordan, the 86 Bears. You know, I would regularly go to the screening room for movies that were coming through to town, and I'd be in the screening room with Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert.
Wow.
You know, they could make knees shake in L.A.
Right.
Every week. And so it was just a remarkable city at that time. And I moved back to Madison for pretty personal reasons with my wife's family. And mm-hmm. I also had been in Chicago for 10 years. And Madison's a hard place to leave, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, maybe I can work in Chicago, but live in Madison and commute, which I did for another 12 years. But Doug Moe did a story on me in Madison Magazine, and we had a beer and we got to talking, and he invited me to a bunch of guys who used to hang out at the old Fess Hotel. Mm-hmm. And after a couple beers, I would crack wise or I'd have an opinion or whatever. And one day Doug said, you know, why don't you just shut up and write about it? And so I did. And it was only designed to be one column, and it ended up running for 30 years.
It was I'm not just saying that. You can ask our mutual friend, Scott Klug. I've been an admirer of yours because I love your writing. And you and Neil Heinen's are, you know, columns were my two favorite in that magazine for many years. You left your final column here not too long ago, and you called it an Irish goodbye, which I thought was remarkable. Explain what you wrote, if you would.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, it was 30 years. And I always said, when the editor's younger than your column, you know it's time to start thinking about moving on, which is true. The young woman who was editing the column when I left was literally hadn't been born when I started writing the column. And you want to leave on your own terms.
Right.
I think being a white male of a certain age writing a column these days is an interesting position to be in. And so I just wanted to go out on my own terms, but the premise of the column was that an Irish exit, and I always like to slip away from parties without saying goodbye.
Why is that? Just your personality?
Well, first of all, it extends your exit by a half hour or hour, or it could be 3 hours, right, depending on who you're with. and I kind of figure I've said everything I've had to say to people when I leave the party, and I felt that way about the column. And so there's one other bias I have, and that is I always kind of wince when I see local TV stations or radio stations do these big send-offs for a weatherman or a sports guy or an anchor person, because I honestly think it's a little self-indulgent. People who read your column or watch you work as an anchor person or something, they have their own lives. And they have all, you know, their purpose in life is not to keep track of your career. You're there to, if you can move them or enlighten them or make them laugh or make them think, that's your job. And when you choose to go elsewhere, I don't think it's cause for the whole city or readership to jump up and down or observe it or anything. So I did this whole thing about an Irish exit, like leaving Super Bowl parties, you know, or wedding receptions, just slide out the side. And I wanted to do the same with my column. So I really just said, oh, and by the way, this is my last column. Thanks, everybody.
It's not his last segment. Stay with us. John Roach is on the other side of the break. More on the other side of the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. I got to get my time straight. Used to do all this in the morning. And just give me a couple of shows, folks, to work out the bugs. But yeah, it is 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. On this segment, John Roach, the founder and chief strategist at Roach Productions here in Madison, is our first guest. We appreciate you, John, being on our first statewide show. He has worked for all the big networks in Chicago, ABC, CBS. He's been involved with ESPN, Fox, and NBC as well. Lots of different projects, and a writer here for Madison Magazine for 30 years and did such a great job there. I want to focus in on my personal favorite project of yours, John, and that is your screenplay that finally came to the big screen in 1999 called The Straight Story. It was, you co-wrote it, the screen bit play. It was David Lynch directing, and Richard Farnsworth and Sissy Spacek were starring in the picture. It was unlike any movie I'd ever seen to that point, and I mean that in a good way. And you watch the thing, and I'll let you explain it, but you watch this movie, this picture, and you're like, okay, is there going to be like some creepy thing that comes out of the cornfield and kills this guy? Like, because you just sat there, and about 20 minutes in, I'm like, holy crap, that's the movie. It's like just showing like actual real life and letting you absorb it. And I never been to a movie that let you absorb the acting and the writing and the cinematography. And I fell in love with it. And I went and saw it three times. I took friends the last two times. Tell folks, if you would, John, what The Straight Story was about and how you came to write it.
Sure. So it's the story of Alvin Straight. It's based on a true story about an old man from Lorenz, Iowa, who wanted to see his estranged brother who was in ill health in Wisconsin near Boscobel. And he couldn't drive. He had impaired vision. He was older. And so he rigged up his John Deere lawnmower with a little trailer on back and drove across, really kind of horizontally across the state of Iowa to see his brother across the Wisconsin line. And my big qualifier for all of this is that my childhood friend, Mary Sweeney, who I went to Catholic grade school and high school with, she was an editor in Hollywood with Blue Velvet and Twin Peaks and the movie Reds, to her credit. And she just called up and said, John, do you want to write? I've been editing for a long time, and I think I need to do something else. And I said, sure, Mira, what do you want to write about? And then very shortly thereafter, she faxed me. This is in the era of faxes, by the way. Faxed me this article in the New York Times about Alvin Straight. And so I called him up. And Mary's really busy. I called him up. I did a cursory drive out to his endpoint in Blue River. And then Mary and I talked, and we said, you know, we know the Midwest, and we know guys like this guy because our dads are of that age. And, you know, we grew up, I mean, pretty much anyone who grew up in Wisconsin knows rural America reasonably well, unless you grew up in maybe Milwaukee or seeing Kenosha. But the rest of us, we're all 10 minutes from a farm.
Right.
And I baled hay on a farm in Barneveld for three summers during high school. So I, you know, and you know, Mary's dad, Vince, was a farm boy. So we went to Lorenz, Iowa, and met his family. And he had Alvin Strait had passed away by that time. Mm-hmm. And then we wrote a very bad first draft. and I have to say, the moving force of this in the early goings was Mary Sweeney. She had a wealth of experience in film. I was more of a broadcast guy. I had a lot of experience writing, mm-hmm. And I had dabbled in some screenwriting, but nothing that I really hunkered down and took seriously. And we just worked really hard for 3 months to get a first draft script, writing every day. And then as a favor, Mary asked David Lynch to read it, who was a paramour of Mary's by that time. And, you know, we never in a million years thought that this would be a piece that he'd be interested in. He wrote his own stuff, and his stuff was far more surreal than an old man driving across farmland on a John Deere. But then he actually said, I'd rather you didn't show this to anyone, which I thought was either really good or really bad. Mm-hmm. And then in short order, with David attached, there were multiple studios bidding on it. And then they made it into a movie with Richard Farnsworth as the lead, who was, you know, had been in The Natural, Chinatown, Misery, just a former stuntman, but a wonderful presence on camera. And Sissy Spacek, who I think she's been nominated 6 times. Mm-hmm. And Harry Dean Stanton, who's one of the more interesting actors of Hollywood of his era. So we premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, which was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, you know, David is just a remarkable director and, you know, kind of the Hitchcock of his era, you know, just a really singularly talented man and an affable guy to boot. And Mary really was just brilliant in navigating everything. I was just lucky enough to be one of the writers. And I do think I had an ear for the dialect and the people, as did Mary. But once we got that script done, I was just kind of sitting around with slack jawed. But we got a huge standing ovation at Cannes. And then Disney bought the distribution rights for the United States, which was amazing. And then Richard received an Academy Award nomination for Best Actor, which really kind of topped it all off. So it was a remarkable experience. I felt like I was called up to the big leagues for 1 year.
Time goes too fast, John. Please come back and see us again. But before I let you go, in about the minute and a half we have left remaining, to me, your story is so great because ultimately you're a kid from Wisconsin. And what would you say to young people out there or parents that have young kids that are aspiring writers, they're aspiring actors, filmmakers? What would you say? What's the best advice you can give someone, whether it's this field or any other?
Read obsessively and write every day. Mm-hmm. That's the shorthand. And really fall in love with words and characters and emotion. And with Madison Magazine, I learned a lot about writing in a different way, but I tried to write about stuff that mattered.
Right.
Well, that's the other thing. It's just
you certainly do it.
Try to write about something that matters.
You did, and you continue to. About a minute here left. What was it like? You talked about Siskel and Ebert earlier, and you kind of encountered them in Chicago. I went back and looked at the review. Gene Siskel gave you Roger Ebert rather gave you a rave review for your script. I mean, really good. What was that like to read that? Like, I saw this dude when I was a kid, and here he is giving my show a thumbs up.
It was pretty tremendous. It was. I honestly
did you ever meet
the
him?
Whole thing was a. The whole I knew I knew,
you knew
Roger and Gene first name. They used to do AM Chicago all the time.
Oh my
they
God,
used to
that's
do
great.
I used to produce their segments. But I don't think they knew I wrote that.
Really?
I don't think they knew it was the same John Roach. And I honestly don't think they knew my name when I was producing and sitting in the screening room with them. They were very big. I was very
Were they as contentious off the air, or was that just an act when they were on the air?
They were prickly with each other because they were Chicago newsmen and they were in at competitive newspapers, which was a very real thing
big deal
there.
Then.
But I think they also loved each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John Roach, we love your writing. We love you. You're a great Madisonian. You're a great ambassador for this state. Please come back and see us soon. We appreciate
you. Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure.
Congratulations on the new slot and the syndication. Bravo.
Thank you so much. John Roach, back with hour number 2, and Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch after this on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.